Welcome to the Lightly in JavaScript podcast. Here we are once more this month to talk about more interesting JavaScript topics. We are almost on schedule, which is not usual. But as always, I would like to greet our great colleague, Arthur Sossins. Hello, Arthur. How are you doing?
Hello. As you see, I'm playing with some stuff. I got a notice that Google effects will be deprecated and removed, and we never used them in any of the podcasts, so I must fix that.
Oh, yeah. Now that they are becoming rare or unavailable, yeah. You want to use them just because they are there. Today, this is episode 75, and I'm going to start with a summary of this podcast. To make it brief, first we talk about a library, I think, from Paul Irish called Markit for measuring performance in a way that takes advantage of the user timing API. So you can actually measure the performance of JavaScript code and have some special marks in the Chrome developer tools and also on Microsoft Edge developer tools and probably later in Firefox. Next, we are going to talk briefly about an article that talks about the truth about traditional JavaScript benchmarks, benchmarks of JavaScript environments that somehow were maybe causing that browser developers can be I would say influencing the benchmarks by making
optimizing for benchmarks.
Yeah, optimizing for some spiders and so on. The next topic we're just talking about briefly about some clean code in JavaScript. Several recommendations somehow inspired on the Robert Martin's Clean Code, but adapted for JavaScript. So this is a long list of recommendations, but there are also translations to other languages besides English. Then we comment about an article on how to convince or not children to learn JavaScript, because it seems to be error-prone task. I tried it to do it with my son. I guess Arthur's also tried it with his son, at least the older one. The younger one is not there yet ready for Lego. But the idea is just to mention here a story about some father that attempts to persuade his son to learn programming with lots of further episodes. Next, we cover projects that have been rising stars on GitHub in 2016. We cover many projects. Well, we don't cover, just mention it briefly, just to say there is this page that talks about those projects. And then we talk about some bad news for Arthur that wants to send JavaScript to his friends over email, and it will be blocked. Even if he just tries to zip the code, Gmail will be blocking that the message that contains JavaScript. And finally, we cover some improvements that are being done on ECMAScript to add support for some enhancements to make JavaScript regular expressions more powerful. Okay, but we are here to talk about JavaScript, so we're going to start right away from an article, actually a library that is meant to allow you to measure performance. There are many libraries that almost work just like that, which is to have calls to start measuring and or putting marks and then ending the benchmark period. So there is a library here called Marky by Paul Hirsch that allows you to put marks, and it uses the user timing API. And if you are running Chrome or Microsoft Edge, you can see in the timeline some marks.
I thought you would say Internet Explorer.
No, I'm up to date.
Yeah, okay, great. Yeah, so there are, of course,
is a cursed name.
A cursed name, yeah. We should not speak of it. Yeah, of course, there are some native things like console time and time end, or you can even use the date now timestamp, millisecond timestamp, stuff like that. But as author puts, that those are not precise as they should be, and that's why he uses the user time API, new API, and additionally, as a nice bonus, it provides also the visualization in the DevTools in the browsers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think for the ones where there is not available, the user API, user time API is not available, he falls back to some default ones. So you are not losing anything.
Yeah. Can you see my screen?
I can see it.
Because in the Hangouts. Oh, I can see my screen. It was delayed. I think this is useful. So it takes advantage of some integration with the browser by the means of this API. So yes. Now you can have some more meaningful timing charts, as you see here. And yes,
not on like console output, but really visualization.
Yes. So it's a bit different in Chrome and Edge. Probably Firefox will follow, very likely, because now it's a standard API. You cannot say no to standards. And I guess this is useful. It's not something that I'll do always. Do you benchmark your JavaScript code somehow on the server?
Yes, sometimes when we are deciding on the best scheme to store data or to process, or once we were trying to find the best way, the fastest way to merge two arrays to have unique values and stuff like that, then we do benchmarking on the solutions.
Yeah. So is this just for the browser? Because to show...
No, it's for server side too. I think it would output in the log the time spent on operations.
Yeah, well, this is nice. I have never had the need to benchmark JavaScript code, but it's also true that I don't do JavaScript.
Do you benchmark PHP code?
When it becomes particularly slow. Mostly that, and it's not even PHP code, it's database queries.
Yeah.
May miss an index here and there, or they become too slow to even bother. Okay, next topic that we are going to comment is also related with benchmarks. The truth about traditional JavaScript benchmarks. What is the truth about JavaScript benchmarks? What they are hiding?
That they are lying.
Where do we go from here? Is there life after death? Oh, this is just about benchmarks, not philosophical statements. So basically, traditional JavaScript benchmarks are mean because they're biased. The people elaborate them just to prove they are faster, but they ignore the common case, right?
Yes, yes. So I can even try to maybe read a portion of the article. So this portion called garbage collection considered harmful. And basically, there is a SunSpider test, which is explained before. And how it run tests is it creates a new iframe and does all the things inside it that it needs to do and then disposes of it. And not to interrupt the test during tests, not to do garbage collection during tests, because it would again slow down the tests quite a lot. They try to detect when you are creating and disposing lots of iframes, and then you are probably a SunSpider test suite, benchmark suite, and they are like halting garbage collection and forcing them between switching iframes, so between tests. So you are not slowing down tests. And as author explains, that this trick works pretty well, and it, in 99.9% of the cases, doesn't clash with real uses. Except every now and then, it can hit you hard if you, for whatever reason, you do something that makes you look like you are the Sun Spider test driver to V8 engine. Then you can get hit hard by forced garbage collections, and that could have a negative effect on your application. So rule of thumb: don't let your application look like Sun Spider.
So it looks Sun Spider now is the a bad thing.
No, it's a benchmarking, but if they detect that you're behaving like benchmarking, they like enable specific logic for garbage collection, which can hit hard your application.
Oh, because you are trying to influence the Sun Spider benchmark, right?
No, because they are optimized the specific behavior for Sun Spider, and it doesn't really clash with really use cases, but if it does, then you're screwed.
Yeah, these people are always cheating.
And so the similar things are happening with other benchmarks that JavaScript engines are simply optimizing to specific benchmarks to provide the best results. So as author explains, if you want real evaluation of performance of your browser or your device, use real-life applications like Facebook or Twitter page loading and see how much your engine passes on downloading, parsing, optimizing, and running JavaScript.
So this is about benchmarking JavaScript engines or about benchmarking JavaScript code library?
About benchmarking more like probably devices, browsers, so also engines, yes. Mm-hmm.
So those are the mean people. But
yeah,
are they sending a message to a specific browser developer? No.
No. It's just to say that it completely won't give you any normal information of running default benchmark suites because all they are optimized for it. So if you want a real comparison for between different devices, browsers, or engines, or whatever, you must use real-life applications.
Yes, as always. Okay, well, moving on to the next topic. Now we're going to just mention briefly, I'll say a set of recommendations to write clean code in JavaScript. We're not going to cover all of these recommendations, just to mention them briefly, because there are a lot. We wouldn't have time, and it's not so important to be extensive here. It just mentioned this is a set of recommendations based on Robert Martin's Clean Code, adapted for JavaScript. So it has recommendations for many things.
Yes, and it's mostly, it's not a style recommendations like types versus spaces kind of thing, but real code usage example, starting from variable naming to different patterns and anti-patterns that you should avoid or use. And interesting part that it, for each of the cases, it provides a really understandable, bad, and good example. And myself, I can't say I'm using good example everywhere. Sometimes I use the bad ones, probably for saving time writing or maybe something like that. But yeah, it's an interesting. You can at least read through it and see what you could possibly improve in your coding ethics and your coding style.
Yeah. And okay. Well, about the recommendations. We're not going into details, but I just want to mention that these recommendations have already some translations for different languages: Brazilian, Portuguese, Spanish, Chinese, German, Korean, Russian, and Vietnamese. And there are some flags here that are not from languages, but from countries. And Russian has two specifications.
Yeah. Interesting, yeah. Why too, but okay.
What does this mean? That the Russians don't agree between them, or separate efforts were started without knowing?
Probably, yeah, separate efforts.
Yeah. Okay, moving on to the next topic, we are going to comment now about JavaScript education. I have a 15-year-old son. I tried to encourage him because he said he wanted to develop games, and I wanted to start with JavaScript. It is simpler and it's probably more reachable from an easier way, like using from the browser. Not, you don't have to set up a compiler environment and IDEs or something. And my son said that he wanted to develop games, well, in the past. And I tried to follow some classes with him in Code Academy, but I think he was losing focus because probably it was too hard for him. I was asking him the questions of the quizzes and the Code Academy, and he was making jokes all the time, as in, oh, it's funnier to make jokes than to pay attention to this. So it was getting distracted, so it didn't work. Then he decided that he wanted to be a DJ. That's another story.
That's a nice change of career.
Yeah, as in, oh, this is boring. This programming thing, let my father do it. What about your son?
I know I tried to teach my cousin programming when he was 13 years old, and I think I pushed him a little too hard and make him dislike it, and so he's not trying it again. So with my son, I try to take it really, really slow and not to push him at all unless he asks me something. And recently we bought a robot Dot and Dash, that which are both programmable with different apps that have block schemes or graphs or a scratch-like environment to write code, and we are playing with it, and it's kind of progressing, not as fast as I would want it to be, but as I said, I'm not pushing it. And yes, and in this article, the father did something similar. They started with Scratch language. Yeah. And played a lot, but then when they decided to move to real code, writing real code, not dragging block schemes, then the things got tough. They started with Python. It was interesting at first, but then child lost focus, lost interest. Then they tried JavaScript, and it made it fun again because, as father described, you can view source of every page and change it with the dev tools, like add word poop to every title you see on the page, and it was funny.
Yes. So what is the pattern? The pattern is that it's not about the language, not the program, it's the purpose.
Yeah.
As long as you can write poop in whole pages.
Yes, it's all about making it fun.
Yeah, and it must be easy. I also try to teach my son to use Scratch, but it's too abstract, and there's a timeout. If you take more than 5 minutes to teach something, you're done. It won't work. And he also gone through the Scratch phase. And it was funny somehow because it was all graphical, but from then on, he didn't find it that amusing because it was not easy. It is all about the reward and how much it costs, not in terms of money, but also in terms of time.
Yes, of course.
Knowledge. And if you manage to motivate your son to actually do some programming, congratulations. But if it depends on you to be present, it won't work.
Yes,
he must learn how to have fun doing it by himself.
On the other hand, I only learned programming when I was over 20, so nothing's lost yet.
Yes, I don't know. I don't think programming should be the goal. It should be just a means.
Yeah, true.
I suspect that in the future we're not going to program in traditional languages anymore. Everything will be much higher level because you can be much more productive with less effort. So that's just what I suspect. And all these things about tabs versus spaces, it won't matter. There will be no tabs, no space.
Everyone will be coding in Scratch.
Yeah, we won't be coding, we'll be talking to the machine.
Yeah, we'll be explaining what we want.
Say, and machines.
Google,
say hello world. And well, I don't know, but people are always complaining about, oh, you must use my framework for this or for that. And I just realized that 50% of the code that I put in production is generated by a ORM tool. So I program already in a higher level language, and it generates code that is called from the actual code that I write. So I think that the programming world will go in that direction. And don't annoy your kids with programming.
Yeah, don't push it, really.
When they get to be to the teenager days, they just want to know, will I get girls or not? Or boys, it depends on whatever. Okay, so this article would be how my 10-year-old learned JavaScript. I'm not sure if it worked, but okay. Let the author believe that he succeeded. Okay, moving on to the next topic now. It's one about JavaScript Rising Stars of 2016. So these are basically projects that are in GitHub, or what is it?
No, yeah, probably not only in GitHub, but yeah, the most popular JavaScript projects that are written in JavaScript, I guess, or used in JavaScript.
So this is just
UGS is the most popular one. I think we commented on it that it's something similar to Angular or React. It's a UI framework, more to React, I think. But yeah, I've never used it. I'm actually, yeah, kind of not into UI frameworks.
Yeah, this is like a bunch of things for people trying to program less, but then it becomes so abstract that you need to take a course to
exactly
to learn all about all these frameworks. Let's keep things simple. Anyway, I cannot comment much about these because I don't use any.
Yeah, so yeah, we can see that most popular projects are Vue and React, UR frameworks, Yarn, which is package manager by Facebook to be based on the NPM and replace it. Yarn, yes.
Yarn, is this serious? Yarn?
Yarn.
You need to use NPM to install Yarn, and then Yarn is more popular.
Yes. No, it's not a popular, it's a rising star.
A rising star, like framework of the moment.
Yeah, probably created in 2016 and or reached milestone in 2016 with GitHub stars or anything. So Electron was building desktop applications with JavaScript. Then again, React, React Native, Redux, which I think was similar.
Everything is similar.
Yeah, only Bootstrap is a CSS and more of toolkit with classes and it has JavaScript too, I guess. Then there are, this is the most popular category, but then there are different categories like specifically front-end frameworks or Node.js frameworks and stuff like that. So if you want to know what was trending, what was popular in 2016, you can check it.
This is interesting for that purpose of just looking at trends. Okay, well, next topic is about something that Arthur is very sad.
Yes.
Can no longer send JavaScript over email.
Yes. I usually have to explain to other developers of our clients how to do this and how to do that, and it's usually easier for me to attach an example JavaScript file via email and send it to show how it's done. Now it's not possible since February 13th, 2017, because Gmail is blocking all JavaScript file attachments, including even if they're in the zip, they still will be blocked. We lost the topic. Yes, here it is.
Yeah, this is the one, because I was rearranging the windows here. So, well, okay, don't use email, use something else. Use Facebook.
Now you have to use, I don't know, Pastebin maybe, or put the file to this cloud storage drive or something, or just upload it to some website and give it the link. But it's not really handy. It was quite handy just to attach a small file with example with the JavaScript, and that's it.
So Google is pushing Google Drive.
No, I don't think so. They say that this is for protection, because you can execute some stuff in JavaScript to overtake your computer, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, so the next topic, now actually reaching the end, is about ECMAScript regular expressions not getting better. So basically, what this seems, it's like PREG on JavaScript.
Yes, some couple of things that were missing. One of them, I think, the look behind assertion. I was actually recently looking forward to it, because I needed a regular expression to match nested parentheses, contents of nested parentheses, and I don't think you can do it without look behind operators. So
I'm not sure it was not, is that.
It was not possible at that time to do in JavaScript.
Look behind.
Yes.
That would work.
Let's not dive into regular expression specifics. No, it's not make headache. But yeah, so there are new flags. So the dot would match also new lines, because by default it does not. And new flag for Unicode characters. Oh, I forgot to mention that it's all in the standardization process. It's not available yet, and earliest it could be possible is ECMAScript 2018. So don't really get excited yet.
I won't.
Yeah. So yeah, there are features like capture name groups and stuff like that some other folks might be missing, that not available in JavaScript, because JavaScript does not support full standardization like PREG, all the possibilities, and they're catching up, but it's good.
Yeah, this is script extension is Greek.
As you might not like regular expressions, but you might have to use them. So
yes, I need to, unfortunately.
Everyone needs.
So here it says Unicode property scripts. Does this mean that it treats certain Unicode characters as a single character?
Yes, hopefully.
Wasn't that the default before?
I don't remember. I didn't deal with Unicode in regular expressions yet.
But you have non-ASCII characters in your language.
I don't code in my language.
Not coding, but processing text.
There was no need, I think. Or if I was doing it, I was doing it in PHP. But the main Node.js that I'm working right now is English only.
Yeah. What I was trying to find here is ungreedy matches. Like in JavaScript, by default, it attempts to match the longest sequence.
Yes.
But if you just want to the short sequence of characters, I don't know.
I think there was greedy operator in JavaScript.
Is there? Although I need to figure it out because I couldn't find a way. It doesn't mention here in the article, so it's probably something that either exists or it doesn't exist.
Will not be available for a long time, yeah. I don't know, too.
Oh, matches.all matches, but it's not this.
No, not that one.
Okay, well, it's not yet PREG, but it's getting closer. Now we are going to talk about the winners of the November. First, we are starting from the JavaScript ones. Let me share the script here. Okay, so I'm going to increase the font here. And as you may see, there are like three nominees. I'll start talking about the first, and then you talk about the other. So the first that I would like to comment is Simple Synchronize JavaScript Event. That is a package from Gustavo Avila. He's from Brazil. And the package is capable of waiting and processing multiple asynchronous events. This is interesting package because sometimes you need to perform some task that consists of different asynchronous operations. So you need to have a way to wait for all of those tasks to be completed. So this is a nice package from Gustavo Avila from Brazil. The next package that I wanted to comment is JavaScript Lab Text Scroll, and this is a cool one from José Luis Lasso. And there is a demo here. Let's see if I can show it to you. I think you can see. Can you see this?
Yes.
Yes. It's pretty nice. It is like a text. A LED panel, and you can even switch from a square green lights to rounded red dots, LEDs, that would be called. So this package from José Luis Lasso from Spain presents a nice effect, and it is all configured with CSS styles to show the styles of the LEDs that are being scrolled. So congratulations for José Luis Lasso for this cool package that you can use, and all projects that are based on web pages that can run JavaScript. Christian, which one would you like to comment? I guess there is one remaining for you to comment, right?
Yeah, sure. So there is an interesting package from the pronunciation, from Asharang Singh from India. It's a jQuery plugin to scroll contents from one section to another. I don't think we have a demo, but one thing that I like in this package is that it's very short. It's very easy to use. It relies on CSS styles to perform jumping from one page to another. So it's a nice package for a nice ID, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Well, regarding the, since we only have three, that is all for the nominees of November. they were voted on December, and then in January the results come out. So we can talk about them, so without influencing the results. I'm just going to show you how are the rankings. So basically, the Innovation Award of 2016 ended. So, hang out here. Let me share the screen again. I think this is the right one. So the rankings, as you may see, over a year for 2016 ended, although we did not talk about the December nominees, and the winner is Anders Toth from Hungary. So congratulations to Anders, and he won with 6 passes and 22 points. So in second came Dante Francois from France. I don't know if you don't know Dantini, because he's from your country, maybe you could know.
Yes. Dantini.
Okay, do you know him?
No.
Okay, maybe you meet someday. And he ended up in second with 5 packages and 18 points. Everton de Rosa in third place with 2 packages and 7 points. Juan Jose from Spain and Hakel Han are in fourth, tied with Farah Ud Haim. It's from Bangladesh, while Axel is from Switzerland and Jose from Spain. They have all 6 points. In seventh came Edvald Zimonek from Brazil, tied with Gustavo Oliveira da Havila from Brazil as well. And they are tied also with Afshin Ashkar from Iran, and Martin Latter with from United Kingdom, all with 5 points. In the JavaScript Innovation Award, there are not so many participating developers, but there are quite a few packages published this year. So the final results by country, Hungary, won with 6 packages, all from Anders Toth, so 22 points. In France, there are it is in second with 6 packages and 21 points. Then comes Brazil with 6 packages and 20 points. United Kingdom is tied with Spain in first place with 9 points. Then in sixth came Germany and Mexico with 7 points. Then Switzerland and Bangladesh tied with 6 points. And finally Iran with 1 package and 5 points. So this is the final results. So Anders Toth is also going to get an elephant, despite this is for the JavaScript. So there is elephant who also has his name, as you may see here from the elephant from Christian. And of course, he'll have his name and show this country in the strike for the Innovation Award winners of the year. And it's a JavaScript instead of PHP, of course, because it's a different context. And of course, there is also the strike for the winner. Not always the winner of the year is the winner of the country. It's also a winner as for its country. It happens this month, this year. So it's all right. You'll get the 2 stripes for the different awards. Okay, well, with this, we practically reached the end of the podcast, and I can listen to myself in the recording. I don't know why.
That must be frustrating.
The
echo.
Are you with headphones? Where does that echo come from?
I don't know. I'm on the headphones.
I'm also with headphones. Try to hang out. Oh, it's the play button here. No, it's not disabled. Okay. Well, with this, we end this podcast. On my behalf, it is all for now. Bye.
Bye.